Well, this morning we're going to take a look at our text that we have to look at it and really with memorizing. Page 10, if you need help in the bulletin, read. Okay, let's read this together. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. Let's try that. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. But that's exactly what the photograph ministry, photography ministry is all about. He's made his works to be remembered. And that's what we're going to try and do. More than just capture photographs. Many photographs are there, but not all are going to be poignant, significant by very much. But that's our challenge, to sort out, to sift out, and to ask, what is significant? What are the things that ought to be remembered? And then we capture them. And this is important. Okay, well, let's seek the Lord in prayer as we read the Lord's Word. Our Father, we pray that you would bless as we take time to ponder your Word. Give to us a Word that we will understand, a Word that will help us appreciate what it means to see your work up close, personally. We pray for wisdom to comprehend your Word and to apply it, this Word that we read, into our lives personally. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we turn to Psalm 92. We were reading Psalm 90. And sometimes Psalm 90 can be quite challenging to read, to understand and to apply, because it was written by a man called Moses. And being the man of stature that he was, the words of Moses can be very difficult, lofty, challenging, to say the least. What then, how do we understand Psalm 92? And Psalm 92 is a little bit more personal. We can understand the person a little bit better because of the very personal nature. In the superscription, we call it a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. What it means is that this superscription that is placed there is written by the editors to encourage. What do you do on the Sabbath day together? As a family gathers for a meal together, what should they talk about? And I think that sometimes this old way of having a family dinner is almost lost today. Everybody is so busy that we don't really have time to sit down and ask what it is all about. But this is something that we read about in some circles in a Jewish community. The Sabbath is a very special day for everybody. So what they do on the Sabbath is, let us say the family is very poor and they don't have anything that they could really eat well on their Sabbath day. They, in that community, they are allowed to go to their friends, not necessarily relatives. And those who are committed to the community of faith will be very happy to give them the things they need to prepare for Sabbath. For example, they want to make fresh bread for Sabbath to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. And they will give them the flour to make the fresh meal for the day, for the meal there. And then they will gather, they will light the candles, they will have a time of worship together, and they will talk about the Lord together. This would be your beautiful, typical family Sabbath occasion. Something that is almost lost today. We don't know how to appreciate this very much. But this is something to think about. It was meant to be that way. Right? So when we talk about the works of the Lord, at what platform, what level, how do we apply this? In this particular context, it is personal, It is a family thing, and they talk about. And so usually a person who is the head of a family will say these words. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning, your faithfulness every night. Sometimes they would have a family gathering where they can sing together. And I think this is just special. But the sharing at the Sabbath meal, as it were, on the Sabbath day together, is very often personal rather than historical. And there are things which are shared on a very personal level here at this point of time, which is very, very obvious. Look at verse 4. The personal nature is very obvious. For example, verse 4 we read, "For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands." And then we read further, verse 10. "But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil." So the personal sharing part of it is actually very obvious. Now, this is something that was worthwhile studying, considering, and practicing. How do we see the work of the Lord? Obviously, there is a very close personal relationship with God in the first place, and that is very obvious. Because they are personal, you can see it. And this is something that you need to look at very carefully. How do you see the personal works of God in your own life? Sometimes we talk about the works of God, say, Bethany, valid because it's a church ministry. And all of us are part of the church. But bring it down closer to home. Using a camera, bring it down closer to home, closer. What do we see? And this personal part of it is really, really special to consider. Okay, now take a look at the things that the psalmist noted. Right? These are the things he noted very, very personally. There is the loving kindness of God. As you wake up in the morning, what should we be conscious of? Most of us, work to be done, deadlines to meet, schedules to keep, get through the day. What's for lunch? The consciousness of the psalmist is, Lord, your loving kindness in the morning, and in the evening, your faithfulness every night. So bracketed, the loving kindness of God, the faithfulness of God is what bracketed the whole day for the psalmist. Now that is a very personal thing. Can I suggest that we consider this? How do we begin each day? And you become very personally conscious. There is a loving kindness of God on one hand, the faithfulness of God on the other. And I think this is something worth talking about. Now, we take a look at verse 4. And this is something that we want to consider as well. "For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands." Now, can you see the personal elements again? There we go. What is that work we seek to do? And I don't mean just church work. I mean anything that we are doing in our life. Can we see God enabling us? I mean, first, is there gladness or has that gladness been lost? Now, this is important. Sometimes we can involve in our work and we are just so unhappy about anything, about everything. And that is painful. It doesn't have to be. If we see the loving kindness of God, we see the faithfulness of God, and we see Him involved in our life, shouldn't we be glad? And the answer should be very obvious. Yes. Where is the joy? Where is the gladness? As we see God working in our lives. And then there is that special moment where he can say, I will triumph in the works of your hands. If we believe God is working in us, through us, doing something special, doing something great, then there will be triumph at the end of the day. Now that is how personal it gets in Psalm 92. And it is wonderful to be able to look at these things here. Does it mean that there will be no problems? Of course there will be problems in life. There will be challenges. There will always be. Not everybody will understand the work of God. We talk about working for God. We talk about serving God. We're so busy serving the Lord. Will everybody understand? No. There will be people who will not understand. Now, it's interesting to see this. So JJ, one of our, just graduated as medical doctor now and doing it at Changi, and he said, Pastor, I have a 30-hour day. 30-hour day. Wow, that is a great challenging, because in my mathematics, I only got 24 hours. I wanted to ask him, how come you got 30 hours? What about my 6 hours? Where did that go to? It went to you. And so the wife said, I'm all alone. I said, what lessons are we learning through all these things here? Now, that would be interesting to take note of. Right? And you look at the work of the Lord, you say, wow, how great are the works of God? I think that is important for us to take note of. I think that's important to consider very carefully. Who will not understand the work of God? Well, let's consider this. Who will not understand the works of God? Let's take a look at this. Verse 6 and verse 7. One, the senseless man will not understand. He will not know. Two, the fool will not understand. Three, the wicked may spring up. The workers of iniquity will be there, but they will be destroyed forever. They will not understand the works of God. Now, this is something that we need to think about. So you tell yourself, I am not going to be among that group of people. Me, I just really want to understand, as I should, the works of God. I will need that wisdom that the Lord can give to me to help me to understand. Now, make it personal again. Take a look. And this is absolutely challenging. Lord, you've exalted my horn, you've exalted like a wild ox. What does that mean? Strength. And this is important. Strength is important for us to consider. The largest land animal, elephant. The second largest animal, rhino. What's the third largest? The hippo. This is something that you learn when you work with kids. Because they come up with facts like that. Oh, really? And you try to pretend you know. Actually, you don't know. But there is a challenge. Look at the strength that the Lord has given to these animals. The elephant, the rhino, the hippo. I saw a hippo being fed at his lunch. Whole cabbage, a head of cabbage, put into the mouth, one crunch, the cabbage is gone. Can you imagine the strength? You just try to put in one, you cannot even open the mouth wide, one whole head of cabbage, and it's gone. Wow, that is pretty amazing. You know, as you look at it very carefully, you begin to realize the strength. But you know, my horn, you've exalted like a wild ox. Now that is not easy to find strength. Usually by midday, halfway through, half mid afternoon, we are looking for where's Friday. Doesn't matter which day, Monday, Tuesday, when's Friday is coming. Oh man, you just can't but look forward to a break. That's why you got this TGIF thing. Why not TGIF? Why TGIM? T, W, T again. Why F? Why can't we thank God for every single day? Seriously, we can if we look at how the Lord has exalted our strength like a wild ox. And I think this is exciting to remember, and it's not an easy thing to do, but something that we need to consider very, very carefully. Now, we take a look at this. And I like this other word. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Now, this is grooming, I must tell you. This is part of it is grooming, part of it is something else. You know, there's a symbolic meaning here. Fresh oil is a way of describing how a person is just simply fresh all the time. You know what it is? You feel it's a bad hair day, and then you just groom your hair, and you feel fresh. You know, you just feel, wow, I really feel fresh. Now, some people are unfresh whole day through. Any day of the week is terribly unfresh. You know it. But then there are people who are fresh all the time. It is such a joy. So strong and fresh, hard combination. But that's what it is. The works of God should be done in that spirit rather than tiredness, you know, and we are not really there in heart, in mind, in spirit. Well, why can't we be? Why can't we be on all the time? Well, Psalm 92 tells us we can. If we see the work of God in our lives, you can actually see this. Now, project it a little bit further away. I must tell you that Psalm 92 was not a major psalm in my life when I was younger. Because I didn't understand age when I was younger. But now I do. So Psalm 92 becomes extra precious. Look at verse 12 downwards, okay, to the end. What is the work of the Lord that He does, especially? One, the Lord plants them like trees. And when God plants them like trees, they grow well, like a palm tree, like a cedar, like one planted in the house of the Lord. The palm tree is beautiful in so many ways. The cedar is stately, always representing honor and strength it's a tremendous amount of dignity. And this is what God plants in His people. Now, let's take a look at what they will do. At verse 14 and verse 13, 14, 15. One of the things that we're going to consider. One, flourish. We're not looking at have you looked at the scene trees and then there are so few leaves there and it's very tired and you know this is a sick tree. But then you see a mark X, which means to say that, you know, the people are going to cut it down because it's been marked X. They're going to be replaced with something. But no. The real challenge is to look at the works of God in our life and you see this planted by the Lord and they flourish. Flourish is not a word that you use easily, but it's there. You see the person's life is flourishing. See the ministry, it is flourishing. See the work, it is flourishing. That's a key word, flourish. Two, this is a good word. Bear fruit in old age. You know, I think that is an important thing. When people want to plant, you have a banana plantation. In a few months, you can reap. But then the banana plant is gone, a new one has to replace it. That's it. But if you were to plant this thing here,
macadamia. They call it the king of the nuts. Right? And a macadamia packet and an ordinary groundnut packet, there's a lot of difference in price because it's macadamia. Now, the groundnuts is a very small, humble thing. It's in the ground. But a macadamia is not. When, if you were to plant a macadamia tree, when will you get the fruit? Not like the banana. Nothing short term. It takes literally something in the early days, 20 years for a plantation to become successful. So they will take care of it, give it time to grow, and it will become like this. It will bear fruit in old age. And as they grow older, they don't become weaker. They continue to be fruitful. Now that is pretty amazing. So I like to look at the works of God on a personal level and ask, am I flourishing? Am I fruitful? And then, of course, the key word, am I fresh? Now, this is important. What does it take to have these things here? What does it take to be flourishing, to be fruitful, to be fresh? The work of God in the life of the person. And when it is missing, all the rest are just prop up. In Singapore, we read in the newspapers, more men are using Botox. And then you ask me, am I using Botox? No. Well, will I ever read about why I was reading? I read psychological books and journals and things like that. And one of the problems that they surface for people who do counseling work is, you see, when we do counseling work, we always look at the face of the person. One of the hardest things to read is a Botox face. Could no expression. Now, is this for real? Is this genuine? Are you struggling? Same face. Right? Are you fearful? Same. Are you happy? Same. Are you worried? Same. Now, it's very hard. So the challenge is how to counsel with people who have done Botox. They have not come up with the answer. They're going to look for other signals, look for other things as well. But it becomes a bit of a nightmare. That how do you see? But when we look at normal frame of life, how wonderful it is to say, you know, God, do this work in me. Plant me. Right? Exalt my horn. Fresh oil of anointing. Help me to be able to be fresh, flourishing, fruitful as we grow older in life. And I think that is a wonderful, wonderful challenge. If we can do that, that would be really wonderful. If we look at our life, wouldn't it be great if we can see life this way? Right? So when we look at the works of God, don't just look at works of God externally. Don't look at works of God only in missions work, in other people's work. Ask yourself, what is God doing with his work in my life? Is he planting me? Am I like a cedar? Am I like a palm tree? What is my tree of life really like? And the challenge can be very, very real and wonderful if we answer it correctly. And my challenge for all of us as we look at the Lord's work here in Bethany, please remember, it is not the work of any one of us. It is really the Lord's work. And we are just what it is. It is so important that we understand our place. What is God doing? Planting? What is your tree? What is he planting you to become? Look for these three things: fruitful, fresh, flourishing. And then you know this is God's work in your life. But if not, and you find yourself no fruit, unfresh, certainly not flourishing, wilting, dying, please send a prayer to the Lord. We're in an old way of saying, if you see a tree that is not bearing fruit, the old method was take a knife to it and cut it. What will it do? I ask. It will shock the tree. And maybe the tree being shocked will actually start producing fruit. But if fruit is, the tree is already almost dead, and no matter what you chop, what you do to chop, it will still die. Until you chop to the very end, then the tree is already dead. But seriously, don't wait for that moment. Look to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord, Lord, do some work inside me. Do a great work inside me. Let me be refreshed. Let me become flourishing. Let me come up fruitful. Is it possible? Is this a valid prayer? Yes. Let's think about this. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness, your faithfulness in our life, morning and night. Thank you for planting a tree in our own life, a tree of life. And we pray that you will teach us how we can be that tree for you, fruitful, fresh, flourishing. And we pray that you will continue to work within us. And where we are not bearing fruit, Lord, we pray that you will prune, you will cleanse, that we may bring forth much fruit for you, and that fruit will remain. And we pray for your blessings as we give this offering to you. We give thanks in Jesus' name.